Welcome to the 5511 Podcast, inspiring stories of God's power being poured out globally in the lives of ordinary people. Hosted by Dirk Smith and Brooke Kell. This podcast is supported by EEM. EEM publishes, prints, and distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in 30-plus nations and in 20-plus languages, free to all.
Welcome back to the 5511 Podcast. And we are thrilled this morning to have a return guest and looking forward to visiting with Bart Rubinsky, who is my dear, esteemed colleague, me, mine, and Brooks, and our vice president of European operations based in Vienna, Austria. So we are thrilled to have Bart back with us to give us a little update on what's going on in Europe. So Bart, welcome. Glad to have you with us.
Yeah, it's good to join you guys again.
Man, it's been a year.
Flies.
I know, it's crazy. So, man, we finished up last year strong. Requests were really strong. I guess give our audience a brief overview of some of the challenges, some of the excitement of last year, and then let's walk into this year with what's ahead of us.
Yeah, so, you know, we're kind of live by grace of God, as you guys know, both on what our supporters provide to us and what God opens in front of us here in Europe. I mean, you know, we have a saying, you know, we make plans, but then God laughs at those plans. And for a lot of the last year, we kind of had a little bit of feeling like that. You know, we had a lot of things that were just sitting in, anytime now, God, anytime now, God, anytime. We are running a little bit behind on our plans on what we're hoping to be. And then, man, just last quarter of 2023 just absolutely humbled us in a good way. We had the largest quarter in EM history, almost, I want to say, 750,000 of books in one quarter distributed, just you know, unprecedented. That, you know, basically put us right back to where we needed to be. We are at almost 2 million again. And if not for a couple of deliveries that were delayed because of outside factors, we would be, you know, right at 2 million. So at the end, you know, we again went into this holiday season just very thankful and humbled by, you know, what God is doing and you know, what our partners in Europe are doing and just the interest we see in God's word. I mean, you know, this is a thing we're all, you know, we sit here and all kind of pinch ourselves like, why are all these people wanting Bible, you know? Because we see in our societies in the West, the interest kind of waning and a lot of gloom and doom, and then just amazing stories in Europe, amazing interest. So praise God, you know, I was just thrilled to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It never ceases to inspire and encourage me. Just seeing the desire for God's word and and I say this a lot, the creativity of people who are truly all in disciples of Jesus in how to distribute Bibles and share the gospel of Jesus using their unique gifts and talents and devising, if that's the right word, devising ways to get the gospel out there to people. It just never ceases to amaze me. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I love the stories. New languages last year, were there, you know, share with everybody maybe new languages, new things that we were called into last year.
Yeah, so you know, we had we're trying to kind of fill the gap, or one of the things we're trying to accomplish is start filling the gap that we see between this age of, you know, 12, 11, 12, 13, and you know, what we'd call then full adulthood in terms of what we offer. And one of the things, you know, we just realized that, man, we have our children's Bible, you know, we have our Bible activity books for little kids, children's Bible, then we have our teen Bible that really is a, you know, preteen Bible. We're used to calling it a teen, but it's more for younger teens. And then, you know, and then boom, this is the full Bible, you know, 66 books and, you know, 1,500 pages, good luck. And just not how people progress. You know, something that, you know, we just started conceptualizing probably 2 or 3 years ago is we need something that's attractive and more accessible to people who are kind of in this age of older teens, young adults. You know, really a lot of the faith, true faith formation happens. I mean, that's kind of where when I became really interested in reading Bible, you know. I grew up in a kind of Catholic environment, but never read the Bible till that age, you know, 15, 16, 17. And so anyway, as the result of that, we released at the end of the year in the first two languages, in Czech and in Ukrainian, our new young adult Bible. We call it new young adult Bible, although it's also for older teens. And you know, focus was obviously to put a modern translation of God's word, but also make sure that design is something that people in that age group will find attractive. And so, and this is a great story. So probably about 10 years ago, I had this kind of idea, you know, let's start an internship program in Vienna. And for a few years, we would invite a college student from the U.S. who was in the graphic design department of one of the Christian colleges to come and spend 2 months with us and kind of help us around, but also, you know, just kind of so we can get to know some people that maybe one day we need to call on. And one of our interns, I was just absolutely outstanding, talented young lady, Leah Sykes. Her married name is Leah Frizzley. She was with us for a couple of months. And then 2 years ago, I reached out to her and said, hey, would you like to design our new young adult Bible? Just kind of give us a template that we can plug in different languages. And she did just fantastic job with that. And so, you know, we're using her design. And the idea is to kind of release the Bible little by little in parts. And so the first part is Luke Acts, which is, you know, easy overview of the story of the New Testament. It's a good idea about life of Christ and what happened with the church and growth of the church and, you know, kind of hit the most important things. And then gradually in every language, add more pieces so that, you know, one day somebody will have a full library in their shelf of the Bible. And like I said, you know, just very clean design, some questions to think about and wrestle with the text and visually appealing. So we were very, very, you know, excited to have that and just, you know, great feedback so far from that. You know, we continue to push the boundaries, I guess, of where EM is. You know, we kind of now say Eastern Europe and beyond. And so we're making more and more forays into Armenia and Azerbaijan and the Stans, the Republic, former Soviet republics of Central Asia, good results in Turkey, and also trying to identify minority groups in Europe that may not have access to God's word. So, you know, we did a children's Bible in the one of the Roma dialects in Serbia, and those children Bibles just went out, and within a couple of weeks were all gone. Yeah, very, you know, exciting to see that, because they just have very little to none literature in their language. So we're, you know, we're not only one of the first Bibles, we're literally one of the first books in that language.
That's great.
Yeah, Bart, you kind of mentioned a story already, but looking back at all the projects, I know you can't really have a favorite because they're all great projects and doing great things, but did you have a project that really stuck out to you the most, or was it one that you already just mentioned?
No, I do have one, and it kind of came also unexpectedly in one of the new areas that we're working with, which is Armenia. And, you know, if you guys kind of, you know, recall your geography lesson, Armenia is kind of in the far southeast corner of Europe, almost in Asia. I mean, it's on the other side of the mountains that are traditionally considered a border of Europe, but still considered one of the European countries, a Christian country. In fact, from what I'm told, I'm not an expert in history, but what I'm told, Armenia was the first country that officially adopted Christianity as their state religion even before the Roman Empire. So this is, you know, we're going back to 325 AD. And even though they were not continuously independent, you know, the church, the Armenian church persisted since then. So we're talking about, you know, 1700, 1800 years, 1700 years of Christianity in that country. So not a big country at all, but very much committed to Christianity. And, you know, and this is one of those situations that kind of almost went under the radar. You know, they've had ongoing conflict with Azerbaijan. I won't get into who is right and who is wrong. As always, you know, some of these things are complicated, but the fact is that, you know, just looking from their perspective, they were on the losing end of a war about 3 years ago that, you know, kind of at the last minute was stopped, partly thanks to Russia, who's a traditional ally of Armenia, you know, helping to broker peace. And then it was kind of frozen. And then in October, I believe, of last year, there was another war. And literally, the news didn't even have a chance to report on the war because it happened over 2 days. And Azeri forces again attacked and trying to get back some of the land that they claim as theirs. And they just absolutely whooped the remaining Armenian forces that were there. And within, you know, 2 days, it was over. Well, as a result, 130,000 Armenians from that enclave that was captured fled within 2 weeks, you know. So just, and if you look at the territory, and this is about, I would say, 20% of their territory. And so think about U.S., you know, let's say the Southwest, you know, all of a sudden Mexico takes it back from, you know, the territory. And all of a sudden, all the Americans that live there have to leave and go. I mean, just, and it's all within 2 weeks, just the scale of it. And it just went completely almost unreported. You know, I mean, it was a footnote in papers on the news. Yeah. Well, why is it, you know, what does it have to do with Bible? We were negotiating with the Armenian Bible Society about printing Bibles, and it was difficult negotiations, been going on for 2 years. They're really cautious with new partnerships. And, you know, we're making progress. But then, you know, they reached out to us. We were about to sign an agreement. They reached out to us to say, hey, instead of printing new Bibles, because of this crisis and so many people that left literally with just clothes on their back, leaving their Bibles at home, leaving, you know, we would like to give a lot of these refugees Bible. And so, you know, very quickly, it was kind of one of those things that kind of, as a VP of Europe, I had the privilege to make that decision. And I just diverted the funds, and we purchased basically existing Bibles. They gave us great price, existing Bibles from their stock, and they went out to refugees. And within, again, a month or two, by the end of December, all of them were distributed. Mm. And I tell you, that just completely changed the conversation with that between us. I mean, we're no longer a new partner, you know, suspicious partner. We are like, you know, brother. They were just touched. They were touched. And I was touched as well to see. And again, Christians cooperating, you know, we've discussed that last time under the Bible. So that was probably my favorite. It came late in the year, but my favorite, how things unfolded and the impact. And you know, if I may also kind of tell you the follow-up on that. So the two guys that are key to that project from Armenia just came to Vienna last month. They spent about 4 days with us just visiting, talking about future projects. And right now, God is opening door for us where, you know, over the next 2 years, we can do 80, 90, 100,000 Bibles and New Testaments for that country, which, you know, again, for a small country, this is a huge
number. That's huge. Yeah.
Praise God. And it's, again, because, you know, we as EM were ready to be flexible and switch and respond to a great need, great tragedy in their country.
I don't think I had heard that story, so I'm pumped.
Yeah, great story. And just such a statement to your team there, and the we've got to do it here too. I think I would say that about EEM across the board. We're pretty good when we have to call an audible, We have created, and we are blessed with a team that says, okay, let's do it. I'll put this on hold. And they don't get up in arms about it, and they love it. They love that opportunity, just like we do. They recognize this is a great opportunity to help and get God's word out there. Let's do it. Let's get on this. What a great statement for them to show, hey, we truly do believe there's no competition amongst lighthouses. We just want to get God's word out there. So how do we help you do that? Man, I love that story.
And let me just tell you one more kind of, so when they were here in February, they told me about this one lady. I didn't get her name. I'm sorry, but she came to them, and when she saw that they were distributing Bibles, she's a refugee from the region is called Nagorno-Karabakh. That means something.
Yeah, but say that five times fast.
Yeah. Really. Well, she came to them and kind of, you know, really almost in tears with guilty conscience because she said, you know, ever since I left my home there, I felt so guilty because I grabbed my phone, I grabbed, you know, some clothes and money and documents, but I left my family Bible and I just felt so bad that I left that behind. And she said, you know, you guys have just helped me to really feel hope and get over that feeling of disappointment in myself. She was so happy to receive the Bible, you know, and again, you think people are fleeing their life, afraid of their lives, you know, their home, leaving everything behind on moment's notice. And then what do they feel guilty about? Oh, I left my family Bible, you know, behind.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of touches your heart when you hear that.
You know what I'm reminded of with all of this conversation, and I don't want this to fly by our watchers or our listeners, is the amount of war that happens in the footprint that God has called us into. And we oftentimes take it for granted. I mean, we really do. Like you said, it didn't make the news here in the U.S. This is a war. To your point, Bart, I mean, these are people that, I mean, look at all the feelings that are happening in them. The fear, the I'm leaving home, I don't know where I'm going. And I mean, we've never done that in this country. I mean, what American can say, yeah, been there, done that? No, we don't experience that. And it happens on a regular basis there. I mean, if we look at the footprint that we're blessed to work in, there's wars and conflicts happening all the time that, to your point, barely make it to the news. We don't even know where these countries are. You know, a lot of Americans, I mean, you say a country and they're going, man, I don't even know where that is. I mean, they've got their phone out, you know, and looking it up to see where it is. So with that, I can't help but I'm constantly thinking about Ukraine and just all that's going on there. And I used the analogy the other day, and it breaks my heart. And it goes along with this conversation about wars and how we don't think about it. But I compared what's going on in Ukraine to somebody in one of our listeners or anybody who has dealt with a chronic illness. Okay. So when you're first diagnosed and all your friends hear about it, there's a lot of attention, a lot of prayers, a lot of concern, a lot of people, what can we do? But as it drags on, people just forget, and it's not a part of their life. I mean, I can speak this directly, you know, with Wendy's battle with ALS. You know, when she was first diagnosed, everybody was, man, we got lavish with all kinds of stuff. But as it dragged on, and it did, I mean, it drug on for 3 years, people kind of forget. And, okay, well, Wendy's still there, but they're not seeing her deteriorate like I was seeing her deteriorate. And so when she finally passed, they were shocked. There were a lot of people who were like, wow, are you kidding me? That was so fast. She was just fine. No, she wasn't. I mean, you weren't seeing it. And that's the way I feel about Ukraine. When the war broke out, all the attention, and we saw the money going there, and it was on the news, but now it's like a chronic illness. But to the people of Ukraine, it's real, and it's getting worse. It's acute, exactly, and it's just deteriorating, and their lives are not getting better. It's not improving. So I guess give me your, I mean, you've got Dasha and our Ukrainian team are there, and I know you're up close and personal, but for our listeners, share anything, I mean, you want to share about that situation going on.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what you described is kind of human nature, you know, and things that, you know, one hand, we kind of, I think we need to come from a position of grace, because I think we all kind of do that, you know. All of us have limited capacity to, you know, show care. And I don't think necessarily this is intentional, just kind of human nature. But, you know, on the other hand, I look at it as an opportunity. You know, we as Christians are called to be different. You know, we are not called to just follow human nature, to just follow what the world is doing. You know, we are to stand out, you know. So for me, what an opportunity for us as individuals, as churches, to show, you know, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to keep looking, even though it's uncomfortable and it's painful and difficult. I'm going to keep my eyes open, keep searching the news, keep praying, keep, you know, giving, keep talking to the people that are connected to that, or maybe I know personally who are there. You know, this is an opportunity for us as churches, as Christians, to be different. You know, all the things we talked about, why would we follow what the world does by default and just forget and move on just because news cycle has moved on? Let's not be like that, you know. So I look at it as kind of, man, what a great opportunity to show who we are.
Yeah.
Right?
And amen. Amen. And you mentioned something right there that I think is a big part of this. And I get it. I get it for me too. It's uncomfortable. You use that word. It's uncomfortable to look at it. I'd rather just not look at it because it's painful. It's painful. I'd rather not know. If I don't look, and that's our default. Again, it's not intentional. It's our default. None of us want to go into an uncomfortable place, in a painful spot. We want to, and I get it. I'm the eternal half full glass of water. I mean, people are always telling me, man, how do you keep going? Well, I'm going to choose the joy that you know, the Spirit has given me. But I think we can have that. And have compassion, to your point, to not look away and to say, I care enough to know what's going on so that it doesn't fall out of our minds, because it's not falling out of their minds. So if I do have the compassion and the heart of Jesus, man, I care about these people. It's like the whole thing going on. You know, people want you to choose sides, you know, like in Israel. Man, I'm going to hurt for the innocent people who are being affected by this, because isn't that the heart of Jesus? Why would I choose Israel over Palestinians? I mean, if they're innocent lives being affected, who are Palestinian lives in the Gaza Strip, I hurt for them. I should want help for them. The way we politicize things, I just think makes Jesus just so disappointed. So disappointed in us, and rather than to say, and these are human beings, these are people created by God, my heart should break where his breaks. I just say to our listeners, don't look away from Ukraine, don't look away from these places, because it is, to your point, what a great opportunity we have.
That's right. Yeah.
To be the hands, to be the salt and the light that Jesus has called us to be.
That's right. Because, you know, the point is, and I'm like you, you know, I always just kind of see, man, things will be better. You know, as long as we have breath, we can do something about it. And the point is not to just look and stare and commiserate and feel sorry for ourselves. The goal is to, you know, do something about it. I mean, you know, we can't go and fight, or nor would we necessarily want to. But man, I can pray, I can give, I can comfort, I can just check on people. So many things that we can do, but it starts with us paying attention, you know? And so for me, again, I frame it as an opportunity for us to be different. It's easy to just say, oh, you know, it's all corrupt and who knows who's right and who's wrong and moral ambiguity and all that. You know what? I don't care who is right, who is wrong. I know people are hurting and I'm not going to look away, you know?
Amen.
So this is an opportunity for us to show, now we're different. We are called to be different, and indeed we will choose to be different. So, you know, what else can I tell you? I mean, you've captured there. People are suffering. This is not a, you know, something that, oh, you know, chronic illness that they can just kind of try to ignore. This is very acute. Every day people are dying. Every day homes are being destroyed. Infrastructure is being destroyed. And on top of that, you know, they're starting to lose hope. Because we're wavering, you know, and Ukraine has been looking out, especially Ukrainian Christians, to America. You know, there's not a country in Europe that embraced American Christianity. And I mean in a positive way, you know, Christianity that is active and not just traditional, that I, you know, come and to church once a week and sit and done my, you know, the Christianity that calls to action. No other country in Europe embraced it to the extent that Ukraine did before the war. You know, everybody will tell you who's involved in mission work, largest number of churches, most committed churches, most active churches, all in Ukraine. Which country, you know, of all of Europe put Bibles in their schools and most of their school system? Ukraine.
Yeah.
And so they look to us as an example with fascination. And so, again, there is a sense of, do we want to let them down in this hour of need? Man, think about not, I mean, forget politics, you know, we don't need to get into that. Yeah. Just think about cause of Christ, you know, the powerful testimony that it can be if we continue to show our love and support. So, you know, again, terrible situation. You know, we feel helpless on one level, but man, God is in control, you know, and we do not lose hope. You know, we're not like people in this world, and we do not lose hope.
Yeah, I was talking with a guy the other day, and he made a great comment. He said, he was talking about a church, a specific church. He said, I want to be a part of that church. He said, because they don't just believe in having a little talk with Jesus. They want to have a walk with Jesus. And I thought, man, that's good. That's it. I mean, if I really have faith in Jesus, again, not that I do to get something, it's not a quid pro quo, I have to. I mean, if I am in love with Jesus and his heart breaks, mine has to break. And it's just such a huge opportunity for us to step out and love and do the right thing. So yeah, well, thanks for that update. I know we're gonna try and have Dasha back on and get a full firsthand report from her. But so this year, let's maybe roll into 2024. Yeah. Projects you're excited about, projects that maybe have already happened that are new, or you're just, because I know we say this, and for our listeners, we pray for open doors. And man, when they happen, I still find myself going, wow, that's amazing. And I think God's going, well, you knucklehead. I mean, you prayed for this. So why would we not do this? So tell us about the exciting projects of this year.
Yeah. Well, actually one of them is in country that, you know, I'm originally from, Poland. So I'm really excited about that. So that's our largest project this year. We're going to do 100,000 adult Bibles, for Poland this year, which is, you know, money wise and quantity wise, single largest project for us. And again, super excited about it. Most of these Bibles are going to one of our partners, which is the Door of Hope ministry. And Pshemek is a guy who kind of runs the business side of them, or business operational side. Very talented Polish businessman, at the same time, just a very committed follower of Christ. And it was a pleasure to have him just for a meeting here in Vienna a few months ago. And just so exciting to talk about it. You know, last year they received also significant quantity, I want to say 40,000-50,000 Bibles. And man, they did ask for a single euro, single dollar from us for shipping, you know, or anything. They unloaded, they organized volunteers. He showed me pictures of his kids unloading boxes and boxes and pallets of Bibles, and he himself, you know, normally he wears a suit and kind of dressed up to a T, and then, you know, in his t-shirts and shorts, hauling Bibles from the truck to his storage area. So we're very excited. So they're going to receive, I want to say, close to 70,000 from us this year, and then the other 30,000 will go to other partners in Poland. Of course, you know, Jura is doing a great job, still expanding our contacts. He continues to travel and meet new partners there. And so I'm really excited about the Bibles are supposed to come. Well, originally a printer told us middle to end of September. And we just this week said, hey, guys, that's too late. You know, we can't miss 8 months of the year. So they moved it up to July, which is great. You know, that's about as quickly as you can print that amount of that number of Bibles. So yeah, they're going to start delivering them July and early August, which is great to get them because summer is high month for activity for those churches to evangelize and reach out to people. Very excited about that. Another thing that's kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum in terms of numbers, very small, because we're just talking about, you know, less than 2,000 copies altogether. But we started a partnership with the Institute of Bible Translations, which is it's a U.S. connected organization that's based in Russia, and they focus on doing scripture translations for minority language groups in Russia. You know, Russian Federation has, I don't even know how many different languages, but a bunch. And some of them, you know, I guarantee you've never heard about, you know, Nogai language and you know, things like that. So they have a whole, and what they do is brilliant, because, you know, their funds are limited, but they just say, you know, okay, we're just going to release, let's say, a book at a time and, you know, do this and kind of, and then do limited print runs to start distributing them, get feedback, and then hopefully, you know, one day print full Bible in that language down the road. So we're partnering with them on two or three languages. They're, you know, small quantities, 600, 900 copies. But, you know, man, if you're talking about groups that are still unreached in Europe in terms of access to God's word, there is a bunch of them like that. So, you know, those projects are always very hard to, very close to my heart. I'm also, you know, very excited about another Roma language that we are doing.
So for our listening audience, describe, yeah, just what's Roma? What is who are they?
Oh, yeah. So Roma, you know, I mean, you know, in these are the minority groups that have been in Europe for centuries, and they're known for just basically, you know, kind of being pretty, I don't know, closed to outsiders, often transient, traveling in groups. You know, back in the days, they would have a caravan of wagons and horses. Now, maybe not like that, but they live kind of on the margins of the society for the most part. And they're mostly just oral communities. They don't have, you know, some of these languages are not written down. So you know, it's a very unreached group.
So derogatorily, we here in the States would know them as gypsies. I mean, a very derogatory term.
Yeah, you know, I probably would not use that term anymore, but yeah, you know, that's kind of, yeah, what would be, you know, back, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, we would refer to that. And, you know, and there are many groups and a lot of dialects that are spread all over Europe. And here and there, there will be a full village, or, you know, like in Eastern Slovakia, where you've done the most with Roma people, they have whole, you know, they're a sizable minority in the eastern part of Slovakia. But this one, this group, they're called, their language is called Bojas. They are kind of mostly in, I don't know, Serbia and Croatia. So actually the children Bibles were distributed in both countries. but going mostly to villages and communities that are that live there. And you know, I tell you, when you work with language like that, just finding people who can do translation is a challenge. So, you know, kudos to
It's an
Drashko, who's
incredible,
our
yeah.
kudos to Drashko, who's our rep in Serbia, for finding a team, and he's managing the project on the publishing side for us. So I'm very thankful. So, you know, again, this is not a large project, but very excited.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I know you guys had Prison Fellowship International representative a few episodes ago, so I'm sure that was covered. But very excited about that partnership. Again, good work, incredible work going on in prisons, and you know, just the connection through them that we get, that really opens the door to a lot of other opportunities. A lot of churches that we didn't know about, but you know, they knew about, that really have been wanting Bibles. They're super excited about this new connection. So, you know, we're doing, I think I want to say, we're 150, 160,000 copies of different types of scriptures this year for several countries, but mostly Russia, which is great to see the new connections in Russia, because, man, if a country needs God's word right
Oh
now.
man, no kidding. Yeah.
This year, or our last meeting, we really talked about some places that I've never heard us talk about before. So I know there's just a lot of things that may be to come. So I'm excited.
That's right. Yeah. You know, like I said, so we were also working with the Azeri churches in Azerbaijan. We're started project on Kyrgyz New Testament, which is, that's one of the Central Asian Republic, former, no, country, former Soviet Republic. So, you know, little by little, God is just opening new door and calling us to new partnerships. And it just, you know, I mean, you guys are thrilled as I am, you know, to see such openness and desire for God's word, especially in places that are affected, like you said, by wars, by oppressive governments, by, you know, all economic problems. I mean, these people want hope, want, you know, need hope, and we can provide it through God's word.
And that's it. I mean, that's you know, that's why our campaign in the fall is called the Hope Campaign, because honestly, that's it. I mean, that's what we provide.
That's right.
And you do, when you see people, and you alluded to it earlier, you know, regarding the Ukrainian people, when you see a people group or a person who is beginning to lose hope, man, that's painful. That is, there's nothing, for me anyway, there's nothing more heart-wrenching than, and I have to step in. You know, I have to step in and just say, no, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Because boy, when somebody loses hope, it's over. It's over. I mean, they just quit. And man, there's never a reason. That's the beauty of being in Jesus. There is never a reason to lose hope. I mean, we all, and that's what we get to provide. So, all right, with what little time we have left, anything, I mean, last story you were just waiting to tell, or thinking, man, I hope they ask this. Anything like that you want to share?
Yeah, I want to talk about one special guy that we have in Romania. His name is Daniel Cogita. I'm not sure if I ever shared with you, Derek, about him. So Daniel has been for several years working with our good partners at Biblica. He was their project translation manager there, and then kind of went through some difficulties. You know, it's kind of personal stuff, so I don't want to get into details, but you know, I had to drop some things. But he got involved several years ago in distributing our materials through his church. He's in Arad, which is kind of in the north western part of Romania, closer to Hungarian border. And I could tell, you know, from the start, great heart, but more than that, just really responsible guy, really, you know, good follow through, always giving us good information about what he's doing. And he was doing, you know, a lot of things. And then, like I said, you know, he kind of dropped off a little bit for a while. And I thought, you know, I haven't heard from Daniel in a while. So I called him, and he shared with me some of his struggles and and what he's doing to recover. And, you know, but I thought, man, you know, probably that's it. Not going to be involved in our distribution anymore. And then the orders from Daniel just started coming, you know, a few months later. He just started, and he just sent me an email saying, hey, you know, last few months, I don't know if you realize, I distributed with my team about 25,000 copies of your materials, and we want to do more. You know, he actually built a team, and this is again volunteer. He's not getting paid for this. This is a volunteer on top of his work and everything else. He is going out to and starting to branch out to other parts of Romania. And I was talking about going to the south of Romania, and asking for Bibles. He's asking for New Testaments for Ukrainian refugees because they want to go. And also help them and reach out to them. So just you know, you hear about people like that, and you kind of, that gives me hope. You know, talking about hope, that gives me hope because, man, if people are so excited about God's word that even, you know, when they're recovering from you know, difficult situations, one of the first things they take back on is Bible distribution. Man, praise God, there is hope in this world. So, you know, I just wanted to give a shout out to my good friend Daniel, and you know, just very thankful for him. He's a superstar.
That's great. Yeah, what a great story. I mean, to have that kind of passion, you know, to where it's not, you don't have to because you're coerced to, you have to because you can't not. You know, that's the beauty of being a true, authentic, all-in disciple of Jesus. That's great. How can we pray for you? How can our listening audience pray for you and the team there in Europe?
So, you know, going to be a broken record just like last time. You know, we need to continue to pray for peace, which, you know, that's on our list, not just in Ukraine, but like you said, the other countries, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Palestine. I mean, bam, anywhere there's, you know, some people are suffering. You know, we need to be praying. You know, I would say specifically, you know, we've been very blessed with an incredible team and incredible support from, you know, you guys in the U.S. and our supporters. And it's an amazing thing to work for a ministry like that and serve for a ministry like this, like EM. But, you know, just all of these conflicts and things, you know, it just... They start to pile up as far as the operational difficulties that they create. You know, just to give you an example, you know, when we're printing Russian Bibles 5 years ago, we're just printing all of them, you know, in one place and sending to different countries. You know, right now we're printing Russian New Testaments, and we have to do the same book three separate print runs just because of all of the borders that are closed and limitations and, you know, divisions and all that. And, you know, that, of course, increases our cost, increases our work, increases complexity. So, you know, just continue to pray for our team. Please pray that you know, God can kind of, you know, ease some of these challenges, that these conflicts will come to an end so that we can continue to be effective in bringing God's word. You know, we want to honor our donors to give them, you know, good value for what they donate to us, and these difficulties are driving up our costs. So, but, you know, just we need to be praying that they will be able to act, and just continue to pray for our staff and that are afflicted by this, you know, for Oleg in Russia, for Andrei in Belarus, for Dasha and her team, you know, Lydia, who is just an incredible lady. She's right now in some really difficult bout with COVID, was in hospital for about a week and still recovering. You know, just everyone who is in those areas, please be praying for them. So, you know, that we feel those prayers and appreciate them.
Thank you, Bart.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for a great report. Thanks for sharing with us, and we'll look forward to having you back on and get an update later on.
Maybe I'll be number two next time.
That's right, you move up the ladder. Well, thank you to everyone who tuned in. Thanks for joining us on this episode of 5511. If you haven't subscribed, please do that. Hit the subscribe button, the little star, or whatever it is on the platform that you're listening or watching this on. That way you'll be alerted to new episodes that come out. Also, give us a rating. We would love to have a rating from you. That helps spread the news about 5511. So it's not just an ego trip on our part. It's actually to spread the news so more people will find us. And we would love to hear from you. Leave a review, whether good or bad, or we read every one of them. We love seeing those. You can also find us on pray.com. If you're not familiar with that app, you can go to pray.com and become a subscriber there and get all of our information and all of our messages there, whether video or audio. So thanks for being with us again for a great episode. And until next time, have a great day.
You've been listening to the 5511 podcast, hosted by Dirk Smith and Brooke Kell. It's edited by David Wilkinson. The 5511 podcast is supported by EEM. EEM publishes, prints, and distributes Bibles and Bible-based materials in 30-plus nations and in 20-plus languages, free to all. To learn more about how you can partner with EEM, go to eem.org. And we'll leave a link for you in the show notes. We'd also love for you to rate, review, and subscribe. And of course, we'd really appreciate you telling your friends about us. So thanks for joining us. We'll be dropping a new episode the first Tuesday of every month.